8.
Any last words?
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody, to Chuck and Lou. Here we come on this Sunday night. The Blues are in action. The Cardinals have played. And yes, the almighty Eldred, Tiger Eldred Woods. What a day. And we can't wait to get into that later. Obviously,
I've never seen it happen once in my life.
Oh, and for you, it's been a while. And I'm so proud of the fact that you got to watch it today and kind of interact, as I know how big of a fan, you know, right next to your head coach, Ben Meyer. You're probably the second in between him and myself as far as Tiger fans. The red just makes me go. Mm-hmm.
What's up with the no-collar shirt?
No, he goes mock turtleneck. I think him and Frank Cusimano are the only ones that could probably pull that off.
Especially at Augusta.
I mean, do you think he got a little flack for that?
I bet there's a couple members of Augusta that probably had some complaints about it.
I'm sure, you know, 74-year-old Harry and his wife, you know, oh, Tiger coming in. He came in today with a backwards hat on, the red mid.
Did he have the sunglasses on?
Yes, he did. I mean, he came in looking like you. You got your backwards blues hat on tonight. You're ready to go. You got your rally towel. You got your blue shirt on. You're wearing blue underwear tonight?
No.
No? Oh, man.
I had to leave my regular Blues gear. I had to leave my regular playoff Blues outfit at home.
You know, we were fortunate enough to make a few phone calls, and we have our guest tonight. We have Tiger himself.
Yeah.
Sitting right here with us. Tiger, how'd things go today?
Well, I putted really well today.
We probably can't get him on. So anyways, tonight we're here right in the middle of the Blues game. It's 1-0 the Blues, and we thought with Easter coming up next weekend, we don't have a guest tonight. Obviously, with it not being basketball season, we're not going to be doing every Sunday night, but we thought it was imperative to talk on what a great sports day. So we got together tonight, and Chuck and Lou, just us tonight. Kind of feels like old times, and tonight we do have a sponsor who's reached out to us tonight. It is... Our show tonight is sponsored by Hayslip Siding and Roofing. It's a locally owned and operated and fully licensed and insured. Hit up Keith Hayslip of Hayslip Roofing.
We may have not gotten Tiger on tonight, but we could have gotten that guy who does the golf impressions, Connor Sketches, whatever his name is.
He did.
Could have gotten him on, get his Tiger impression.
Right in the middle of our sponsor. You just go with a random golf guy. I like that. Anyways, Keith Hayslip. Once again, Hayslip Siding and Roofing. You can call them at 314-712-7575. 314-712-7575. Anybody looking to, goal 1-1. Anybody looking for some siding, go ahead and hit Keith up. And also a shout out to CNR Basketball League, who has started putting our podcast up on their website. They're back at it into Spring League today. I was able to go up there and host the Sunday, one of the only Sundays. We only have three that we're hosting up there. Saw some of the West guys playing for a team called the Knights. And of course, if you want to check out the CNR website, it's for any grades, second through eighth grade. Really, really good. Into the summer, it goes into high school. CNRbasketball.org. It's a great organization. They play locally. They've kind of taken over the, I guess you could say, the little kids leagues around town, and they do just a great job. Lou, I did get to see today. Whenever I go up there, I did get to see a typical parent. Mom today in the stands, her daughter was shooting a free throw, 1-point game, and the ref, before she shot, was going to make sure that everyone knew, including the shooter, that this was under a minute to play. So both shots were 1-1, and it happened to be when the daughter had the ball in her hands, and she airballed the shot by about 3 feet, and her mom goes nuts at the referee, blaming him, as she said, talking in her backswing.
Man, I wonder how Tiger would feel about that.
Well, Tiger, you know, in his backswing at the Masters, you know, 4,000 people within two steps of him. You know, today, you know, packed house, sixth grade basketball game, female game, just getting some work in the spring, and mom is not happy.
You know, if you talk in backswing at Augusta, you get assisted off the grounds.
In a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And don't they let only so many people into Augusta?
Yep, the Lords of Augusta only let, I think they heard about 50,000 in a day.
Yeah,
and that's anybody, unlike what they did at the PGA, where one adult could get 4 kids in for free.
Oh, man, down Magnolia Way. Did you hear Phil Mickelson? Yes. That was great.
Did you hear what Kuchar had said before, why Phil got him back?
No.
So Kuchar, this is probably a couple years ago, this is why Phil was waiting so long to get back. Phil shows up to Augusta one day, he's wearing alligator green shoes and a matching belt, and Phil goes, well, Kuchar says, that's a nice outfit. And Phil goes, thanks, but you got to have three jackets. You got to win three jackets to wear this. And he said, well, let's just hope I win two.
Ooh, man. Yeah, him and Cooch, and it was great. If you look that up on anything on Twitter or social media, it's him driving in on Saturday, and he's just kind of going through the fact that analytics have told him this is the one course in the world where he's got to just hit bombs. And he does a really, you know, I almost just said a really cute job. That would have been really weird. He does a fantastic job of just kind of showing you how when you're that athlete and you are on a Saturday driving through and you're getting the Masters, like, he's just so calm. He's been there before.
His shot at Kuchar, though,
was
pretty good.
It was really good, and you need to listen to that. It's pretty cool. That's why I like Phil. He brings a little bit of enjoyment to the game. So we always kind of chat about our weekends. On Friday night, I got a few good lifts in this week. I was feeling kind of good for myself. And then I went over. The Blues played at 8:30 on Friday, so I obviously go over. I should say obviously. We were invited over to some friend's house, and I'm there for an hour, and I probably had you know, gallons on gallons of cocktails. The dips were all over the place. My gut, I mean, I could get my gut on, I did on Friday. And I mean, I felt like, you know, two periods, I watched the game started late. My body was going to explode. Lordy, I felt like Joey Chestnut after eating 100 wieners. But of course, Landon wanted to stay with his friends. And
you know, I did Friday.
We let him stay. Did you go?
I went and played that bogey.
You went and played bogey?
Mm-hmm.
Were the lights on?
Well, it was in the afternoon.
When I talk about my Friday nights, I don't talk about from 4 to 7. I'm just usually doing yard work or something.
Yeah, and then I watched the Blues game, of course.
Of course. So we got home, period. And we both had a lot of Blues this weekend. Saturday consisted of getting yard work done by 1 o'clock. My entire day stopped at 1:10 to watch Tiger. I had the grass cut, and it looked like hole one at Augusta. And the wife gets home, and she says, you know, you left two piles of sweet gum balls out there in your rake. I said, yes, honey, but the cat is on, and it's gosh darn moving day. I have to stop whatever I'm doing when
at
he's teeing off.
At 2:30, I get a text from Chuck, and he's like, if you want to come over and watch a golf, and I'm not ready for today, I'll be like, I'll be right there.
He said, I'll be right there. He comes down with some of my favorite pretzels of all time. Mm. What's the brand of those pretzels?
I couldn't tell you.
But we've had a lot of pretzels in our day, just kind of chit-chatting. So Lou came down, and we watched the Tiger for probably a good 2 or 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, you know, Saturday comes, and you watch Tiger all day. You're doing yard work, and I mean, I'll be darned. I was in bed by 9 o'clock.
Not watching the Cardinals game.
Yeah, so it was filled with Tiger, obviously. I'm sure Lou wants me to start off the show by talking about the SLU baseball team and the pitcher with the no-hitter and Missouri baseball getting 2 out of 3 from LSU and probably breaking down the WNBA draft.
Huh? What's that?
Oh, so you want to just get right into Tiger. So, Lou, I know your weekend was full of Tiger. I know you want to start the show with, you know, kind of giving us, I guess you would say, you are a huge golf guy along with myself, but you kind of tell it a little bit better. And as you sit here with your rally talk for the Blues, you told me that you could kind of feel things shifting as far as Molinari, who was in the lead at hole what, and kind of give us your recap of the day.
Well, I thought Molinari was going to start. I thought he was going to start losing at 11. And throughout the day, he was playing super aggressive shots. What I thought was, if you wouldn't have known this leaderboard the way Tiger and Molinari were playing, you would have thought Tiger was in the lead, Molinari was.
And why? Explain that to our fans.
Molinari was hitting like really aggressive shots that you normally would not take when you're normally hit when you're leading the Masters.
Kind of like me, like in a scramble out at St. Pete on the 11th hole. I'm just trying to hit everything as far and long as I can. Uh-huh. I kind of recognize out of his game. You thought he was chasing.
Mm-hmm.
If you were watching
and
that
there
closely,
there was a shot on 11. He was about 200 yards out.
202.
Took a 6-iron under a tree and hit it on the green. A really gutsy shot. Only one that a pro can hit.
And I think kind of surprised himself if you saw his reaction.
Yeah, and he hits it super close to the water, which if you watch the Masters and that 11th hole, whew, you know, that's death to be in that pond on the left.
And you were telling me, and I know we're going to talk more about it, you said something I thought was interesting. When you play Augusta, you have to take it in chunks of 6. What do you mean by that?
So there's really, I think Jordan Spieth said this, really every 6 holes is a round at Augusta. The first 6 holes, you really can't hit any aggressive shots. You really just got to kind of sit back, let the course come to you. The next 6 holes, depending on what day, you can be aggressive. Sometimes you can't be. And then the last 6 holes, you can just go at it.
Just go at it.
And that's where your bread and butter that's where money gets made, pretty much.
It's kind of like going out with your boys, you know? You want to take it easy at first, and then, you know, kind of midway through the evening, you start to ramp it up, and then the last 2 or 3 hours, you just get after it. You know, like some of these Blues fans tonight, I can only imagine, you know, these Blues fans on a Sunday night, Tiger wins, you know, 1-1 game in the second period. You said something earlier, though. You said you thought, just, you were hoping not, but you thought the Blues might take an L tonight, just getting back on that, because their Sunday record is something like...
It's 3-4-2 on Sundays.
I mean, Sunday nights, I'm sure Patty Maroon and the boys are probably the night before on Sunday nights kind of getting after it. But I mean, for sure, I know that if I was at the game tonight, I'd probably need a Monday off. But I'm pretty sure they look like they're ready to go here today. But talk
Chaser little, was fired up.
Chaser, did you see that before the game? He was getting it. He was going to jump through the television. But getting back to Tiger on his day today, when did you feel as if he was probably going to win this darn thing?
I think after that tee shot on 16.
Yeah.
That was the heck of a shot. And there was guys that were hitting it right near there and didn't catch the ridge.
Right, and they caught that ridge and just...
Yeah.
I thought, as a matter of fact, I watched the entire 4 days of this. I probably watched 90% of his golf shots. So I'm a little bit weird, done at school, kind of, you know, roundabout way. But I thought on Thursday he was really good. I thought on Thursday he just missed some putts and he was there. And he did say on Thursday when someone asked him after the round, how was your round? He said, well, I just want to let you know that the last time I won the Masters, first round I shot a 70.
He shot 70 every first round except one.
And tell us this amazing stat about, you know, obviously today, I should say obviously, but this today was his 15th major. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little story or a little fun fact about the fact of his major and
every major Tiger's won before, he was tied or in the solo lead entering the final round. Today was his first ever major win coming from behind entering the final round.
And that just amazes me because you have that Tiger effect, but I guess he was so darn good early in his career that he was just up by so many that it just wilted the others. And I guarantee out of the 15 majors, if he was never coming from behind besides this one today, I would assume that probably 60% of the majors that he won, guys were just worried about winning second or third, as opposed to probably even realizing, I'm not going to get to the big cat today.
I think there's a lot of those chances that you're going to remember of Tiger coming from behind have been since that 2008 U.S. Open win. Not too many people, it's not very storied how many times he tried to come from behind from 1997 to 2008. But since 2009 till this year, I mean, there's been a ton of times where he's tried to come from behind, a lot of Masters where he's tried coming from behind. And I think the big key for him was being in that final group.
I think so, too. You know, I think it kind of calmed him down a little bit because there was a third guy. It wasn't just mano a mano with him. And, you know, because you could tell Tony Finau was just kind of out there hanging out. He looked like he was kind of on the beach.
He pooped his pants.
Yeah, he kind of crapped his pants a little bit today. That was a big stage for him. But, you know, obviously today was probably one of the biggest sports days in a long, long time. I mean, obviously, if you want to, you know, Mount Rushmore it's probably right up there next to my 1,000th point, 2001, I would say. Just kidding. But anyways, Tiger Woods.
Today was awesome.
Is your 2019 Masters champion. And yes, people, he is wearing a green jacket again with the red underneath. He looks like a damn Christmas tree, but I love it.
I want to know how many people turned on the TV about 5:30 and saw that Tiger's coming up 18 again, and they're thinking, oh, this is live, and then they've been seeing their phone all day, and wait, Tiger already won? Nobody getting the message that
there had to be your casual fans out there who knew the Masters were on, and they get to, you know, the week early Easter, you know, like I did today, and it's Sunday, and you turn on at 12:15 to kind of see what's going on in golf because you heard it was the Masters. Can't even find what channel it's on. You're like, where's it at? And then you tune in, and here comes Tiger, and you're like, is this a commercial? But
is this a joke? It's on right now.
And you said, you know, you were texting earlier about one of the greatest comeback stories in sports maybe ever. I mean, here's a guy who has overcome, let's face it, I mean, a wedge or driver to
his
face.
He's got a 9-iron to the face.
A humiliating scandal. I mean, that was probably said better than the wedge to the face. He lost his dad. Unspeakable physical pain. I mean, you're talking about...
2 years ago, he whispered in somebody's ear, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm not playing golf ever again.
And that was probably after he had a spinal fusion surgery. Everyone doubting him, and today he is wearing a green jacket. And that's, I mean, to me...
A year and a half ago, he was afraid to hit a driver.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the definition of absolute greatness. You know, with me, I guess if you're going to kind of put this on the Mount Rushmore of things for me.
You know what makes it complete, though, is that he won at the Masters.
Yeah.
His first major. Like,
so you're saying for people who are listening, his first major that he ever won was the Masters, correct?
I'm saying the comeback.
The comeback, yeah.
Yeah, like, no offense to his run at the PGA. It wasn't have felt complete.
What you're saying is the Masters is the major. Yes. I mean, that's the major that gets us going. It is, by the way, 3-1 now, I believe, the Winnipeg Jets. Lou has just tossed his hat on the ground. He's looking for something to throw. But at the same time, oh, look, at they pan to the crowd, and the 26-year-old girl who's probably on a date with her boyfriend is just upset. She's done now. Poor guy. Coach wants a timeout. You don't even get, do you even get timeouts in hockey? Is he won 20 full? One timeout, and he's exhausting it here. 22-8 shots. And we're talking shots on goal. We're not talking about fireballs. But at the same time, you know, you're looking at the Blues. They're not gonna play three games against the Jets and win all three of them. But this is a situation where we can't make this game get out of reach to where it's like a 6-2. We need to stick with it. Get this to 3-2 or 3-1. Coach is after him right now. But we got to chill out here and get this to the third period with a chance, at least a chance. So, like I said,
what did I say?
Yeah, you're right. Sunday again. I guess they did go to Patty Maroon's last night. You know, moving on.
Patty Maroon came to us one time.
He did. He came to us in one of our basketballs. He's actually at St. Charles West. His kid plays basketball. So moving on to the Cardinals. Last week on Sunday, you know, we had Mr. Mark Hassel on with the part of the IBO Association with the referee. Great conversation. And we were kind of talking about the Cardinals and the sourness behind them, and we discovered that, oh, I think the mention was, oh, next Sunday we do Chuck and Lou, you know, we're going to be watching the Blues game, and the Cardinals are going to be in first place. And I'll be darned if they're not a half game out of first place. They're 9-6. Like we said last show, every Cardinal fan is going to freak out early. I don't care if Ozuna can't play left field better than Bill Cosby. I just don't care. He hits bombs. I mean, that's what he does. Today I think he had 2 home runs. I really, in baseball nowadays, how many times do you really need your left fielder to crow hop, throw a guy out at the plate? It'd be nice to happen 3 to 5 times a year. Did you see that play the other night when he looked like Spider-Man on the fence when he went up to jump and then face planted on the dirt?
That was pretty funny.
I mean, that was one of my top moments watching a Cardinal game live. This guy, I see
I
the ball.
I wonder what drug he was on after that.
I know. The ball comes off the bat, and I think this ball's not leaving the yard, and I see Ozuna climbing the fence like a damn, like Maya outside
my
daughter.
You gotta wonder if he got drug tested the next day after.
Well, I don't know what was doing. Then he falls off the wall, hits his face, and he acts like he's hurt for a second, but I don't care about that stuff. I mean, late in the year, if we're in the playoffs, we can go ahead and get him out of the game in the 7th or 8th inning and put somebody else out there who can play a little bit.
Out there.
Drew Robbins, is he still on the bench? Is he still part of the team?
I think he's in AAA.
I thought you were talking about JD Drew. What a waste he was. But like I said, I don't really care about, you know, the effort in left field as long as he can catch the, you know, Chris Duncan type fly balls that Chris used to miss. But I think he's going to be okay. And then we have Yadier. He's doing okay this year at the average. But I heard a stat today. He is one of 4 catchers who has ever played in 100-plus games for 14 years straight. I mean, that is remarkable. The others are, you know, a weirdo, A.J. Pruszynski, Brad Ausmus, Johnny Bench, of all people, and the good old Bill Dickey of the Yankees. And Bill Dickey was kind of a little bit before our time, but he was 11-time All-Star. So, you know, what an interesting time of year now. The NBA playoffs are on. I haven't watched one game. Have you watched any NBA playoffs?
No, I just saw the highlight, the Patrick Beverley, Kevin Durant fight.
So Patrick Beverley's fighting again.
Fighting Kevin Durant.
And is he just talking? Is he...
Well, I mean, that's pretty much about it.
That's all he does, right? I mean, why are him and Kevin Garnett even mixing it up? They don't guard each other, do they?
Nope.
No, it's just a... So, do you know anything? Like, did the Warriors win a game yet?
Yeah, the Warriors kicked butt last night.
They won. Any upsets yet? Celtics, are they winning?
Well, 76ers are checking their phone there in the middle of the game.
Did you see that? What was he doing? He was on the phone of the guy next to him who's not actually on the roster. He's kind of like the guy who would be
the 12th man.
The 12th man, Ryan Robertson's of the world. Mm-hmm. And they were just looking on the phone. Like
checking their DMs on
I know. I guess somebody was trying to jump in their DMs. I don't know what was going on. But
trying to find a good date for tonight.
I guess. I mean, I can see where their mind's at. So I don't even know who's in the NBA playoffs. Like I said, once the Blues season is over, then I'll hop into the NBA playoffs. And then when the NBA playoffs are
that
over...
That might be until after the finals.
That's what I'm saying. So it might get me down to the Eastern and Western Conference finals of the NBA before I start, you know, even tuning in. But when I do, I get pretty locked in. But this playoff hockey is amazing. I don't care what team it is. And game sevens in hockey are amazing. I think this series here could go 6 or 7 and could get very interesting
it's
down the road.
Six.
So, no hockey game tonight. I thought maybe Incarnate Girl would call you tonight and see if you wanted to go. You said you had a couple friends going?
That's what I heard.
No calls?
Nope.
No calls. Oh, man. Man. So, did you ever get that fly that was going around here?
Nope.
No? I saw you give a couple efforts trying to hit that fly with your rally towel and everything else. So, we're going to go ahead and move on here to some West Side talk. And Lou had a, he's going to be pretty humble like he always is, but he had a heck of a week on the golf. Good weather this week. That kind of helped out. But give us a little rundown of West Side Talk here before we kind of wrap this up so we can watch the second half of the Blues game.
So starting out with baseball, they split their series to St. Charles High. And I'm going to be brutally honest here. I don't think that's acceptable under how bad St. Charles High baseball is right now.
You know, I kind of agree with you. I've watched them Wednesday. I was out there at the game. It wasn't like they were kicking it around. They'd had some fly balls they misread and things like that. But anytime you have a high school team, I haven't seen Clark pitch this year, but he must be really good. I saw a kid come in, Jack. What's Jack's last name?
Rhodes.
And he comes in. He's throwing low 80s, mid 80s. Lucas Wade from the left side, who's kind of feeling his way. And then Rico, who I've heard has done a terrible – I mean, he's gotten some big starts for him. I just feel like they have more on the mound than I think what they're getting out of their win-loss record. But at the same time, I would – guarantee that there are plenty of people listening to this program tonight who have not yet seen the stadium and what's been done to the baseball stadium. And now I know, Lou, you haven't been around forever, but I'm one of those players who, late 90s, early 2000s, more of the late 90s of the Bamers and the Balsmiths and back when Coach Kessler was there and Coach Boschert was there. That field was kind of our baby. We kind of got that field to where it was off the ground. We had some people in the home industry who would come out. And I know there's probably somebody listening to this who, it's kind of like a little hidden gem. And sometimes the grass isn't always the greatest this time of year. But what they did was they totally took out the hill behind the baseball field and put all concrete. And it looks phenomenal. And then they sodded and kind of flattened it out. And you can literally walk straight to the track. If there was a track meet going on the other day, there's a concession stand with restrooms now. But I was talking to a guy the other day who had put a lot of time into this field and had just seen it for the first time this year after all the remodeling has been done. And exactly what he said was wow, was just wow. So kudos to the St. Charles School District, St. Charles West, and the way that field has looked. It's just the facilities at West continue to amaze me, and I'm looking forward to the new weight room and everything else. But just those of you who followed Warrior Baseball, it's worth just the drive back there to kind of check it out. Let's go ahead and get into some golf now.
So we had our big match against St. Charles High Monday.
You're not talking as loud, so did you lose?
Yeah, we played pretty well.
Yeah?
St. Charles High probably had what I think will be their best round of the year. They shot 158 as a team,
okay,
which is pretty stinking low.
Uh-huh.
We shot 174 on a pretty wet Links with Darting course. So.
A lot of mud balls out there?
Mm-hmm.
Bridgestones?
Sure. Yes.
This time again?
Okay. Yes.
Anybody use Titleist Pro Vs out there? Just hitting them into the woods like I do and wasting $3 a ball? Or
probably a couple of guys.
Just a couple guys with the parents who can afford it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Man. So, you play high, one of the best teams in the conference. You said as good or maybe even better than Warrington is when it comes to golf in the conference?
Maybe.
Neck and neck?
Mm-hmm. Well, they were pretty neck and neck on Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, they played Thursday?
It was the Warrington Invitational. We were there, too.
Okay.
And Warrington wanted to score 320. St. Charles High was one stroke behind, 321.
Oh, my God.
Wonder how Coach Gibson was about that.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
and he probably yelled at his kids because there's probably one shot that some kid didn't focus. Mm. Oh man, I bet he was upset.
Yeah, and then we shot 350 as a team.
Okay, so you guys aren't playing. I mean, you guys are kind of hanging in there. I think. Are you guys, honest question? Are you guys playing a little bit better than you thought you would at the beginning of the year? Are you right about where you think you are?
I think if we didn't have our practice round out there at Warrington, I don't think we would have played that good as we did. I think there were some guys that left some shots out there, for sure. Yours truly got a medal for
who did?
Shot 85. I did.
You did, and I was going to ask you about this. Was that Thursday, right?
Thursday.
So you shot an 85, and you said that was at Warrington. What was the strength of your game? I mean, for those of you out there who don't really know anything about golf, shooting an 85 at the high school level is darn good. I know and I play a lot in the summertime. If I shoot an 85 at any course, I'm usually fist pounding, probably getting an IPA just because I'm celebrating that day. But tell us, what was your highlight of your game? I would say to get you to an 85, something had to be working.
I putted great.
You putted great.
30 putts. So, averaging under 2 putts per hole.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, putting is where you get your dough, right? I mean, mm-hmm. That's where you make your money. I'm proud of you. I saw
it was an 85, and I had the worst irons day of my entire year.
So you should have, would have, coulda 81, 79.
Take away one bad hole in 81.
One bad hole.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fantastic. Shooting an 85, like I said, I'm proud of you. I sent him a text. I was very excited for that. Obviously, do we have any upcoming events this week that you're kind of aware of? Hanging out at St. Charles West, whether it's golf or golf track has or?
We have tournament at the golf club of Wentzville tomorrow. Okay. That's ball tournament.
I like how they kind of switch it up every once in a while. Sometimes you're playing head to head and scramble, and tomorrow's a
best ball.
A best ball. So
that's two players. You each play your own ball, and then best score out of the two, you take that score.
Best score. So coach will do the pairings for that, or the kids have any say in it?
I bet it'll just be coach making that up.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of fun. That's a good deal. What's up? You get to miss school quite a bit for this.
Uh-huh.
So you've missed probably, what, 4 days, 3 days?
And
are the hours on Mondays?
No, we've had a tournament 2 weeks in a row on Thursdays.
Okay. Got it. I mean, that's pretty cool. As long as, I mean, the weather seems to be pretty
good. We've had four tournaments. We've missed 3 days because one of the tournaments is on spring break.
Gotcha. Well, you know, tonight's show, we wanted to kind of, you know, get to a situation where, for those of you who don't know us and some things coming up, obviously, you know, Lou and I have been around St. Charles for a while. And I know it's the end of the show. We should probably do this at the beginning. But Lou is a manager of mine, and he's a student at St. Charles West. And I am just an old man that lives across the street and coaches basketball there. And Lou happens to, better known as Jack Bueller, Lou lives down the street. So we enjoy doing this. A couple things that are coming up that I know I've mentioned in the past. And one that's, you know, kind of dear to my heart is the St. Charles West boys basketball camp that is coming up. I mean, if you talk to people around town, I had a guy, you know, comment on Facebook one time last year after I was sending some things out, or maybe on Twitter, and he said, looks like things haven't changed much. I mean, we run almost 80% of the same camp that we ran in the 90s, in the early 2000s, because the kids love it, and we try to stay away from stations and too much skill work. We try to compete and have as much fun as we can.
I'll try to be on the golf course that week.
And Lou does try to sneak out at times during that week, but the camp this year is grades 2, second grade through 8th grade, and we are going to do all at the same time using some different facilities around our campus there. And it is, like I said, Monday, June 3rd to the 6th, a little 4-day deal. A lot of people want to travel on Friday as well. So we'll go from 8 o'clock to about 11:15. You can sign up online. You can show up the first day, whatever you need. But please tell you know, people on your teams and everything else. I know a lot of you play baseball, but the website that you can sign up on is scwwarriorcamps.com, SCW, and then another W to start the warriorscamps.com. And we have our other camps on there as well. But our basketball camp tends to have quite a few kids, and we're looking forward to a great 4 days of competition and fun. And also, we did mention on our last episode, we have Coach Hollander's, I think this particular month on the, I think it's the 30th and the 7th, he's having a clinic at Lindenwood. You can obviously probably find that on Lindenwood's website. But other than that, we would like to get back to the Blues game here and see what they can do late. And this is Chuck and
Lou.